because we live in a Puritan police state, we are obliged to inform you that we may sometimes use explicit language. Now that you've been informed, things are about to get weird.
Hey, welcome to What I Had Heard Was. I am Jennifer.
I'm Anna.
And today we have a wonderful, spectacular guest named Kristen Adams.
That's me.
It is. I'm so excited.
And what are we talking today about with Miss Chris?
Movies and television
and all of our wonderful media stuff that we love to watch. I personally, much like Homer Simpson, find that the television is my friend, my teacher, and my secret lover.
Yeah. I'm in deep with it.
So yeah.
Well, thank you for having me on. And talking about movies and television are a few of my favorite things.
Yay! So we picked the right person.
Or the right topic.
touche.
So as our self-proclaimed expert, what are your qualifications?
My qualifications? I own a TV.
Nice.
Excellent.
I like going to the movies. but more specifically, I do work in the field of movies and television. I have a bachelor's degree from Columbus College of Art and Design and Illustration, and a master's from New York University Tisch School of Arts in Production Design for Stage and Film.
She has her own IMDb page. But the list of accomplishments are too long for us to go into right now. But is there anything cool you're working on currently?
Currently, I'm the production designer of the Ellen DeGeneres show. And past projects have also involved production designer for Project Runway. And I've also production designed music videos for Ariana Grande, or art directed music videos for Ariana Grande and Katy Perry. And Sean Lennon. And also, I've production designed numerous books with director James Franco.
Nice.
Excellent.
So what's a production designer do?
Production designer is in charge of the vision and the communication of that vision between the director, the producers, the cinematographer. And from production design, it then stems down into different job positions within the art department to help tell the visual story.
Very cool.
Which also, just to break it down, it's basically the environment. It's the sets. It's the time period. It's basically everything around that actor or actress.
Do you have an inspiration that you like to draw on, or somebody who has, you know, like you were watching a movie one day and you just saw this movie, saw whatever, and were just like, boop, that's it. That's what I want to do.
I have a few of them. One in particular is The Adventures of Baron Munchausen, Terry Gilliam.
Yes. Oh my God. That's such a great movie. It's so bizarre.
It's so bizarre. It's so interesting. It's a great time period. It's an imaginative splendor. It's suspended reality. It's really great. And I remember my mother and father said, oh, you have to see this movie. And we watched it together. And I was like, oh, how great would it be to be involved in making worlds like that? So that one stands out for me.
Did he really go crazy? Terry Gilliam?
Terry Gilliam? Well, I mean, what is crazy, really? Isn't this really artistic?
That's an excellent point.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I guess we're comparing to, like, you know, other artists like Van Gogh who cut his ear off and, you know, so, touche. So what do you think is a big draw for movies? Why do you think people like them so much?
I think movies are an escape. They're also something that you're willing to give your time to, that you start out by going into it, wanting to feel something, wanting to think about something for a certain amount of time, and knowing that you're going to come out of it and have had that break from your normal life. So I think there's education involved. I think there's recreation involved. And I think it's also just part of going into a fantasy, an adventure.
And the theme of carrying through, where you get some relief from everyday life, again,
exactly,
comes through this.
I dig on them. I've always been a huge fan of watching movies. I think I get the same enjoyment from watching a movie as I do from reading a book, in the fact that I can get lost in this other world and I can pretend I'm a character in it. Just the nice thing is that, you know, the movie gives you the visuals to go,
right.
Yeah,
you know, to go with it.
Well, you really enjoy going to the theater to watch movies, whereas I really enjoy not going to the theater to watch movies.
Well, you don't like people.
That's true.
Do you guys have a movie that you've experienced together that you really enjoyed, and like going to the movie theater experience that you remember?
Well, I know, as far as movies that we both enjoy, like Splash is one we've talked about, and we've watched the shit out of that movie. Like, but that was with a VHS tape at our house.
Yeah.
And we would just like rewind certain parts over and over and over.
We were amazing kids.
We weren't annoying at all. At all. Or Goonies.
Yeah.
Can you please tell me that the moment you rewinded and played over and over is when she's in the television store and screams really loud and all the televisions break?
Yeah. You can't really say my name in English. Well, let's try. It was that. Actually, we would do that a lot, and we would get yelled at for it. But the scene I remember was when he goes to take her out to dinner, and...
Oh, the lobster.
And well, it was right before the lobster, where he's like all trying to be Mr. Cool, and the music's winding down, and he's like, doot-doot-doot-doot-doot, and he's like pretending to play the drums, and then hits the fork, and the fork accidentally goes flying and hits a picture that's directly over this like rich fat guy, and so it's like do 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 fling bam oh, and then the guy just made this like face and whatever, and we died laughing, and then we rewinded and watched it again, and then died laughing again, and I think it's one of those things that nobody else would find funny.
Yeah, I don't even think it's like you have to be there. It's just, yeah.
And but then he's like, oh, sorry. And then the lobster comes out, and then she just starts eating it. Like,
it'd be so much easier if you could eat lobster that way.
Well, you can eat lobster that way.
Yeah, but
it might be frowned upon in some places. But
yeah. Might also be uncomfortable.
None comfort of your own home.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's, you know, it would just cut your gums.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like it's just...
not a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our show does not endorse you eating lobsters with shells on.
But see, honestly, now part of me really wants to try.
I mean, you can, but we still don't endorse it.
Right.
Wow.
Well, there's very little that I actually endorse.
That's true.
Because I don't get paid for any of it, so.
That's even more true.
Yeah, but Goonies is another big favorite. How do you feel about Goonies, Chris?
I applaud Goonies. I think that's a really good one. Aren't they remaking it, or didn't it just come out, or it's coming out?
No, they are remaking it.
With
their kids.
Really?
There's a poster outside of Warner Brothers Studios that I pass every day that has me intrigued.
Man, who gets to say that?
I just got chills. I'm so excited.
You know, there's a poster outside the Warner Brothers set that I get to pass every day.
Well, I get chills every day. I get chills.
I mean, because you're living your dream, Chris, right?
I am. I'm very blessed. I constantly remain excited every day. So, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
And I mean, despite, you know, it's a balance, though.
Sure. Well, you know, because that's the thing. It's, you know, working in theater and stuff, like, people are like, oh, you must have so much fun at work. And it's like, and I have to tell people, like, I enjoy what I do. It's still work, though. There's still days when it's like, I don't want to go to work, or, you know.
Why do I need 95 pineapples?
Exactly. Literally. And that was an honest question that I had to answer to somebody one time. Why we needed 95 pineapples.
That was the same time, if I remember, I don't know why I remember this, but you got some of the pineapples there, and they're like, nope, you need different pineapples.
Yeah, they're not good enough.
Yeah. Your pineapples are losers.
Yeah. So, these are our daily troubles. So, I understand that jobs are still jobs, but how great is it that you get to set goals as a child and actually meet them?
That's true.
So, with working with all these, you know, famous people and stuff, besides having a super cool contact list on your phone, when you're talking to, you know, when you're talking to these famous folks, like, they're still just regular people, yeah?
Absolutely. Yeah.
How's the best way to deal with that with famous people? Like, when you first walk up on a set and it's all like, oh my God, there's that famous person. How do you deal with that?
I think there's the professional acknowledgement that they're also doing a job, same as you are. So, you know, everybody goes through daily life obstacles and struggles and positive and negatives. And, you know, they're there to do a job the same as you, you know, same as if you don't have your cup of coffee in the morning, which if I don't have my cup of coffee in the morning, I might be a little cranky.
Sure.
I think it's also just keeping in mind that everybody's real.
Just treat them like real folks. I appreciate that.
That's right.
The movie and television business has obviously been affected by COVID, and it seems like there's a large movement to streaming networks, Netflix and things, streaming services.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering if the future looks less like movies and theaters and more like movies streaming.
I think that the idea of movie theaters is going to have to change. I feel like, you know, I appreciate movie theaters. I appreciate going to the movies. I feel like many people do, but I feel like with the sensory overload we have and this whole idea of like reasons of going to Universal Studios and amusement parks and watching a movie or going to have an experience and having your, you know, your seat shake or things squirt at you. I feel like it's going back. It's going to go. I think it's going to go back to Ed Wood. I think there's going to be more of an amusement attraction in going to the movie theater than just sitting at home or just sitting in the theater watching a movie. With streaming, I think it's wonderful that with COVID and quarantine happening, that there's more of an appreciation for being able to have the movies you want at your fingertips or the TV shows. Mm-hmm. I think there's an appreciation for it no longer being a big distribution production company that would control when you're going to see a movie, how you're going to see it, and where you're going to see it. Excellent. Now you can just pick out whatever you want and how you're feeling, and you have that power and that control. And I think that's attractive to a lot of people to stay home.
Especially right now. I mean, right now people want control over things because the world, you know.
Because you don't have control over anything else.
Yeah. We don't have control over anything at this point. At least that's how it feels sometimes. And that you're right. That does give you some form of control.
Well, and as you just said, control to your feelings. Like, and that goes back to talk about going to the movies to escape or to feel a certain way or experience something. You know, you want to feel happy. You want to watch a comedy. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to feel like you're being educated or doing something throughout your day. You can watch a documentary or... you're controlling that feeling.
Right.
Sure. And you know, going to see a movie was like a special thing. You know, it was like a special date night or going out, was something that you did with your family once a week or once a month or something, you know. And it was an event. It was a present. You know, now with being able to watch movies on your phone and at your home and at your fingertips, the specialness of it has kind of been lost. Mm-hmm. And so, Chris, as you were saying, with going to a movie theater has had to try to compete with that. You know, so they have special reclining seats with heat, and you can get servers to come and bring you alcohol and food to your seat. And, you know, so they're trying to amp up the experience. Or show like runs of stuff, mm-hmm. you know. So it's like, oh, if this is the third movie in the trilogy is going to be shown, well, great. You can buy this special pass and you can watch the two movies leading up to it. And it's like an event, you know. And
exactly.
So live theater is having to do a similar thing, you know, and trying to make it an all-encompassing you know, event as opposed to just going to see a play. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so I feel like group events, even sporting events, you know, if you've been to a baseball game recently or, you know, any sporting event, the quality of the food that they have is amazing. You know, it's like, yeah, you can get a hot dog and, you know, some nachos, but it's like they have, you know, pizzas and burgers and sushi and ice cream and like all this, you know, craft beer, you know, because live events, people can get all this stuff in their homes now.
And right. We don't have to wait in line to go to the bathroom.
Exactly. Or, exactly. You don't have to deal with public bathrooms and other people kicking your seat and, you know.
And you can pause.
Pause, but I gotta pee.
Right.
Well, I just want to give a shout out to my sister Shauna and my nephew Noah.
Hey.
Because they went also to John and to my other nephew Zach, but my sister took Noah to the drive-in last night.
How was it?
He loves it. He absolutely loves it. And this is the second time they've been. And I can't wait for her to take Zach. But I think it's really great that they want to have that different experience of viewing a movie. Mm-hmm. And being able to go to the drive-in. I think that that's wonderful.
I think it would be great if drive-thrus made a big comeback. Drive-ins made a big comeback.
Well, and they are. You know, that's the silver lining of the dumpster fire that is 2020. People are going to concerts and watching events and stuff at sporting events and whatever at drive-in theaters, you know, or creating drive-in theaters and parking lots and stuff.
I've had an idea for a drive-in theater since I was a child. It will make me tens of dollars.
Are you going to share it with us or just keep us knowing you're going to get tens of thousands of dollars?
Not tens of thousands. No. Hear me. Tens of dollars.
It sounds super lucrative. Please tell me more.
I'm not sharing this. Somebody might steal it.
Wait, okay. So you're just going to dangle that out in front of us?
Dingle dangle.
You're a turd.
That's true.
So I used to work at a drive-in movie theater back in high school. And
it sounds like the greatest job.
It was, honestly. It was so great. We worked, but we didn't work terribly hard. And we got to see free movies, and I got to stay out late in high school, and it was amazing. I feel like it was like Caddyshack and Meatballs and whatever. It was it was pretty great.
I like Meatballs.
But my point was that, well, one of the reasons why I wanted to go work there was because I remember going to the drive-in as a kid. You know, the family would go, and we had an air popcorn popper maker machine.
Oh, yeah.
And our dad freaking loved some popcorn. And so I just remember he would make so much popcorn that it would fill up a brown grocery bag.
I forgot all about that.
And I thought that was just like, I was like, oh, I've never seen so much popcorn in one spot in my life. And, you know, we'd do that and we'd get in our jammies and, you know, we'd have blankets and stuff and folding chairs. And we're like, oh, we're outside at night and we're little kids and we're running around. And it was just, it was the best. You
and
know?
Then at 9 o'clock,
it was,
we fell asleep.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. It was just such.
I had that, my sister and I had that similar experience with our parents. And it's funny how that stays with you about being able to be in your pajamas and be able to watch a movie and eat all the candy and eat all the popcorn and watch double features.
That basically sounds like my life.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's like, now we just do that because it's Tuesday. But yeah, no, I hope that movie theaters and drive-ins and those kind of places where we come and gather still exist and evolve with the times, just because there's a different energy when you're watching a movie with somebody else, you know, mm-hmm. and when you're in a spot specifically to watch that movie, because I don't like watching movies at home because I get distracted, because I can hit pause, because, oh, look, my phone's ringing. Oh, hey, I'm going to check this. And I get distracted from the story. So I don't feel like I can get as in-depth in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have as much emotional investment in it as I would at a movie theater.
Maybe that's why I stopped going to movie theaters, is because of the emotional investment and the financial investment, which almost across the board were wastes. Recent, well, I shouldn't say recently. I've been to a theater in a hot minute. Last time we went to see a movie, last time I went to see a movie was Neverending Story with you. That was a few years ago. That was more than a few years ago.
I don't remember that.
You don't remember when we went to see the new release of Neverending Story, the re-release?
No.
Okay. There's pictures. Like, there's literally pictures that were hung in the dining room.
Were you riding Falcor in any of these photos, Aaron?
Right after you went to fucking Germany and rode Falcor. You don't remember. Who are you? Are you me? What the fuck?
No, I don't remember this, but that's fine. Sorry. Sorry, you don't remember.
How can you not remember? I bet Micah remembers. Anyway. I don't like this.
Are you sure it was the Never-Ending Story?
No. See, yes, yes, I am, actually.
See, that might be the thing. We may have gone to see it a different movie.
No.
Okay.
I'm right.
Okay. I believe you. I'm not saying we didn't do it. I just don't remember it. So.
I'm very frustrated now.
I'm sorry.
Now I don't know if it's true or not.
Now we have these emotional responses.
Falcor.
Sorry. Okay.
So. Oh, yeah. We're recording a podcast. So I went to a movie and I saw The Neverending Story with Anna, which she doesn't remember because it wasn't too important in her life, which is fine. Moving on, I guess I'll just ask you, like, what was your inspiration to get into the business?
My inspiration to get into the business? I think a lot, basically my family, a lot of my father and mother introducing me to a lot of movies and television shows from a young age, and even my uncle being a big supporter of comic book movies and graphic novel movies, and I just loved watching TV and film as a kid with my family, and it's something that I just really want to work towards. And when I was 12 years old, I was on a TV show called Family Double Dare.
And that... Nice.
Yes, that was about maybe in seventh grade. And basically our family was on the show and we snuck out for a moment while we were waiting to film another scene. And I walked into this room that was a huge art department where I saw like drawings and people making slime and building things. And it was at that moment I just knew my love of watching movies and TV and seeing and thinking about how they're going to be made and seeing that happen, I wanted to do production design.
That's awesome.
It's awesome. Like, it's a little tricky. It was a little tricky at that time, but yeah, definitely awesome.
So you got to see how the sausage was made, and you were just in it to win it.
Absolutely.
And how cool is that? That at Nickelodeon, of nothing else. I mean, you know, that's like every kid's dream.
Purveyor of fine meat.
Yeah, just watching the show itself. That was the height of popularity of being introduced with. Everybody getting slimed, and never would I ever think I'd get to roll my sister in a taco and have my mom dump guacamole on my sister ever in my life until it actually happened.
I think I had a dream like that the other night. I blame all the excessive Halloween candy, though.
From there, I, you know, it's not as easy to just jump into designing a film or a TV show, so I had to build up from that. And you know, I've been fortunate enough to meet great people, including Anna, from working at Glimmer Glass Opera, where I was trying to build my skill set to become a production designer by knowing how to build sets and props and really educate myself more.
Have you ever found anybody who is critical of your interest in film and TV, maybe gave you some shit?
No, I mean, most people I surround myself around or I've been fortunate enough to know or be blessed with have been very encouraging.
I feel like
I'm sure you come across some naysayers, but not specifically, no.
I feel like how much shit can you really talk about TV, though? I mean, it's pretty awesome to everybody.
The only thing I will say that you come across, which, you know, goes with many different jobs, is it's just the schedule's pretty grueling. The hours you put into it or the time that you put into it and the sacrifices you make for that. But if you believe it's worth it, then it kind of makes it better.
And that's a good point. You didn't walk in there and you're just bossing people around. You're in there busting your ass.
Yes. Yeah.
It's not an easy job that you just show up for and they hand you $1 million and you walk out and have margaritas with your neighbor.
That sounds great, though.
It does sound pretty good. Unless you're my neighbor.
I want that job. Do you have any advice for folks who want to be a part of the business?
Sell your soul now.
You fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy night.
Oh, that's a good one.
And really, I think the whole point is you never know what to expect, and you have to be prepared, and you have to want to go after it.
That's good advice.
Don't stop. Get it.
That's right.
I agree. So, and also I've noticed that recently on Netflix specifically, they're dubbing over foreign films, which I think is really interesting. I found quite a few shows or movies that were foreign that they've now dubbed with voiceovers. Which
really?
It's really great.
I'll have to check that out. I don't know how I feel about that.
It's kind of like watching a kung fu movie, you know, because her mouth is moving one way and the words are another way, but you just roll with it.
I like reading it. I like the subtitles. I have trouble when I hear the sounds and see their mouth move and it doesn't match up.
Subtitles are my bitch.
I have found that in my later years, I just have to put subtitles on just because I can't hear what they're saying.
I'm trying to play badass. You're just admitting we're old.
I was just admitting I was old. I was not throwing anyone under the senior bus, okay? That's not what I was doing here. As a person, though, who has watched a lot of Japanimation, or anime, as they call it now, there is a difference, though, in context versus a subtitled movie versus a dubbed movie. Different word choices will be made so that those words will line up better with mouths than if it's just words at the bottom. So if you get something with subtitles, you actually have a truer essence of their intent than if it was dubbed.
Now, I need to be, that's a great point. And one of the things there is if you have the captions on, it won't be word for word. It's not verbatim what they're speaking, because I'm convinced at this point there are two different people who are doing the translations. Somebody to do for the voice actors, and then somebody else to do the closed captioning, because they don't always match up.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like they don't have, it's not like they were, hey, we have the movie script, and we're just recomposing the movie script. It's somebody who was listening to it and is now translating it. So, yeah, there's a whole department for that.
Right. Interesting, though.
What are your preferences, Chris? Do you like the subtitles or the dubbed?
Oh, I like the subtitles.
You can also learn a foreign language that way. You know, who says you can't learn stuff off of television?
Exactly.
Never stop learning.
Is there anything besides movies and television that you like to nerd out about?
I have definitely an interest in weird attractions, similar to Anna and yourself, about visiting museums and interesting locations and experiences. So I enjoy that. I mean, and also besides your podcast, I mean, you know.
I mean, who doesn't enjoy that?
Yeah, Chris is one of our super fans, which we super appreciate.
I mean, and besides my dog, Pickles. I mean, so, you
Pickles
know.
Is adorable.
Yeah, Pickles is the best.
I believe Pickles is on the very first picture of the very first episode.
I know that we talked about Pickles in our Dog Butts episode.
Yeah.
She's that old school.
She's very proud of that. She's very proud.
We should send her a certificate.
Oh, you should.
Framed with paw print and everything.
Pickles is what I had heard was the podcast certified.
Ooh, that's good.
So here's a philosophical question. Being nerdy about something is basically, you know, having a passion of something that is a little not mainstream, so to speak. So can you honestly be a movie nerd?
Yeah. You could know too much about movies to the point where you're like, dude, do you have anything else you ever do?
So that's more of like an obsession as opposed to a passion?
Who's the one who determines the difference?
Yeah, who determines?
I'm just posing a question. I don't have an answer. I don't know.
Well, that's my answer.
I have spoken. I guess Kevin Smith, really? He's the one that gets to decide these things, right?
Well, Kevin, TikTok, give us a ring. Let us know. I know you're listening.
Oh, we can call him right now. Should we let... No, we can't do that. I have a bad habit of doing that.
I heard.
No. What I heard was...
What I had heard was, that was a great story.
That was a great story. I think I almost peed my pants laughing.
Alexa has a habit of calling. Oh, she... Crap, she's about ready to talk to me now. She heard me say Alexa.
Okay, so from now on, we will call Alexa Morty.
Morty. Morty has a bad habit of hearing people's names that I say and calling them from my phone.
That would be bad for me.
Which is very tricky. Because sometimes you shouldn't be calling those people.
I mean, for me, it'd be like...
At certain hours.
I mean, for me, it'd be like, oh, no, I called my cousin Jason. Oh, that's a shame. But you actually have, like, famous people in your phone.
Yes.
I just called to say I love you. I'm a stalker.
You had me at restraining order. Oh.
I work here. Do you have anything you'd like to promote or anybody you'd like to give a shout out to?
Well, I'd like to promote myself.
Please do.
So please check out my website at www.kristenadamsdesigns.com.
And we will put that on our website for you.
Amazing. Excellent. I'd like to give a shout out who I talk about a lot on this podcast to my mom and dad, who are movie lovers, and my uncle and my sister, Shauna, and John, Zach, and Noah. That's my huge list of people that I love watching movies with and talking and nerding and geeking out about movies and television.
Hi.
So it's nice to talk to them and hang out with them and geek out on stuff like this, like I do with you guys.
Oh, totally.
We love family geekdom.
Oh, it's so good to have a strong base.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
So I got a question. With technology being the way it is, we talked a little bit about streaming services are taking over and you can do all this wonderful stuff from your house. Weirdos like us can go on Amazon and buy some microphones and start on podcasts. How do you feel about all the movies and music videos and stuff that people are now shooting with their cell phones? You know, how do you feel as far as the artist level of it from the viewpoint of a production designer? You know, it's like the visuals are your art. How do you think this is going to change the medium?
Well, I think it's always exciting anytime you can grow creatively and that you can build on a platform and try something new and see how it works out. Also, again, you're giving the control to the user to create what they want because they have a phone and they can make a movie and they can make a video. They can make music videos doing it by themselves and not having to spend so much money and make it a huge production. I think that perspective is interesting. My bias is I don't know that I really don't watch movies on my laptop or my phone or videos. I don't like to. I think there is great value in watching it on the big screen as it has been intended or a big TV. But that's not to say I don't applaud what's happening with it.
So it's still valid. It's just a different type of.
Right. I'm more interested too in how they're doing all these things on the phone about how you can watch things, how it's recorded vertically and you watch it vertically as opposed to horizontally. That's a trip for me. I'm interested to see what happens with it, but my particular bias, I just don't find myself having enough time to really catch something really quick on my phone. I'd like to set aside time to watch something.
Sure. So you can get the emotional investment and devote your time and energy to the piece.
Yeah, and also I'm a little bit of a geek when it comes to the visuals of it since I love what I do and I keep doing what I love, which is production design and art direction. So I like, even to the point where when I watch something on the movie screen or TV, I applaud for the production designer. That's like my secret thing I do. like, no matter what I watch, every time I see their name in the credits, whether I know them or not, I like to applaud what they do. So I like to have an awareness and respect for watching what they've created. Same as with cinematographers and directors, that I like to see bigger.
Do you think that you have a distinctive design style? You know, I don't want to say necessarily as strong as like Wes Anderson or Tim Burton, but is there something that's like kind of your thing, your hook, your bent?
Two things about that would be, one, I'm very versatile with design because I feel like you lend your talents to that specific director and project and cinematographer, which I think is going to be different depending on the formats. And I'll do music videos and TV and reality TV and movies. So that calls for a different area of design exercises. I will say that when I work, I'm very textural. I like layers. I love color, mm-hmm. and I respond to those areas. And I love just layering everything on, and I love research. So do I have a specific design? I think it just depends on the project, but I definitely think my research level and my layers of color and texture.
So you amplify them and give a depth of whatever the project is you're working on, basically.
Yes. Yeah. Well put.
Nice. Well, you said it. I just, you know, these are the...
You just cleaned it up.
This is what I heard. This is what I had heard.
Have you guys ever wanted to work in movies or TV? Has that ever been something that you're like, oh, I'd really love to work in that, on that film or that project or do that?
I don't have any true knowledge of what it takes to work in the field, so I feel like I am not... I watch what Anna does, and I don't want to do that because it's really hard.
Well, I will say that Anna is extremely talented, as you know, and I think a lot of things, she's very skilled and very talented, and despite the hard work, things just seem to come really natural for Anna because she's brilliant.
That's true. All of that is true.
I have you all fleeced then. That's awesome. There is a lot of hard work in this. But going back to the question, Jennifer, is there like a you've watched a movie or you're like, man, I would love to live there or be a character in this or be a part of this world? Is there anything like that?
I would have liked to watch the Kumite on Bloodsport.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Whoa.
Oh, my God. Whoa.
You are not a Tanaka. You are not Japanese.
Yes. Oh, my God, yes. This is not where I thought you were going with that, and this makes me love you so much more. That's amazing. Oh, holy shit, I got nothing now. That just wins. That wins the internet.
That's just it, yeah.
So I'm not worried. Couldn't follow that up with anything good.
No one can.
Jackson! I have always been fascinated by movies. I love watching them. I love being in a movie theater. I love the whole experience. I love the emotional investment. I will cry. I will laugh. I will cheer. I clap. I am 112% in it.
Joel does that. He lives in whatever's on TV.
Yeah. And I will ignore everything around me.
That's true.
Because
that's true.
The television of the movie, it's a fault, but I'm just,
No, it's wonderful because you also allow it to take you there. You also allow it to go there.
You just do the eyes on me.
Yeah. I've told all my roommates, all my friends, boyfriends, my husband, everybody.
Her boyfriends don't like it as much as her husband.
Well, you know, they have to deal with it. Yeah, if you want to talk to me, turn the television off or walk in front or something. Like, I will pay attention to you, but if you're just like, meh, 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 and I'm not looking at you, I have no idea what you just said.
Yeah, it's over. I have really bad short-term memory, as you may be aware, so I forget I'm even watching TV sometimes.
I would have to say the one thing that was that was like, yep, I want to do that. I want to work in movies is when I watched Lord of the Rings. And I was like, the Weta Workshop is a thing. Yep. I'm moving to New Zealand and I'm going to do that. By that time, I already knew that like making stuff for theater and whatever is a career that you can have. But I was just like, yep, that's my next step.
And you stayed?
Yeah. I think I had a little imposter syndrome. I was like, man, they do some really good stuff. I don't know if I'm that good.
But you are.
Well, I think it's, you are. And going back to, you know, the idea of Lord of the Rings, too, how great they had the illustrations. I mean, that's one of the reasons, you know, I went into illustration in undergrad. Well, you can't find really production design as a curriculum during that time. But, you know, you have illustrations and artwork to look at.
Yes.
And I think that there's always there for me, at least, there was a love of looking at the illustrations and wanting to go in that world. And like, how do you draw this? And not only that, but then how do you create it?
Right.
How do you build these sets? Or how does it take its journey? And I think that that was always fascinating. It started with looking at art and illustrations, similar to Lord of the Rings.
Definitely. Well, and that's the thing. That's the tricky part. So, you know, working in a movie, you know, you have your screenplay, you have your story that you're telling, the message you're sending, right? But if you're doing something that's based off of a book or a comic or another movie or that already has a fan base, that already has such a longevity and an existence on its own, how do you take that story and translate it to a movie? Like, how do you take it from a book to a movie, still do it justice, but in a different way, you know? And sometimes sometimes people kill it, and sometimes people kill it and destroy it and make it horrible. and then everybody's just like, oh, I hate you. You know, like Jared Leto with the Joker, you know? It's like we've had however many different types of Jokers over the years, and, you know, he just poor guy. He's getting a second chance at it, but he just got clobbered. With his reviews on how he handled that character.
Who's your favorite superhero?
Myself?
Everyone.
No, myself isn't the answer.
Oh.
No, do you mean me or Anna?
Everyone.
Do you have a lot of weird theater stuff that needs a new home, and you prefer it doesn't just go into the dumpster? Reset likes the weird stuff. With ResetYourSet.com, you can find listings to buy, sell, and rent items that folks in the industry will truly appreciate. Go find them on Instagram, Facebook, at ResetYourSet, and check out the site that offers so much more. ResetYourSet.com.
Superhero. I like Batman, just because he's a dude, like, who's got a shitload of money and a chip on his shoulder. You know, the other superhero, like, you know, Superman and whatever, like, they all have, like, magic powers and stuff. He's just, like, a smart guy. You know, kind of like, Iron Man. He's just a smart guy figuring out how to do some shit.
Yeah. I think, well, I like Iron Man more than I like Batman. I said it.
That's fair.
My favorite superhero reading comic books was Dazzler. Because Dazzler was the 70s disco star on roller skates. Who would shoot out electricity from her hands.
She would shoot fireworks.
Fireworks,
yeah. Yeah, yeah, she would dazzle people.
Do you remember Jem?
Yeah, truly outrageous.
Yeah. Truly, truly outrageous. Did you see Jem the movie? The remake? The whatever? Non animated?
No. I was nervous about it.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't. I mean, I've been told.
Have you seen it?
I did not see it. I may have caught parts of it.
She's like, just don't do it.
See now, though, I feel like we need to watch it because we have let other people's opinions dictate what we watch.
They just offered some opinions. We don't have to take their opinions. Doesn't mean we have to watch a terrible movie.
How do you know it's terrible? It could be amazing.
I feel that it's terrible. I feel it in my... In your lower guts.
You feel it in your waters?
In my waters.
Have you ever read a book that you want to be made into a movie? I remember being a kid through grade school, high school, and watching Grapes of Wrath and watching these movies. And I knew at that time, too, that I wanted to be a part of making a movie. And I always thought to myself, how cool would it be to production design a movie from reading a book?
Oh, definitely.
And, which has been cool, because much later in my life, I ended up production designing a John Steinbeck book or two William Faulkners.
So how was that process?
It's really interesting because you also have to look at where you're going to film at, which many times you want to stay true to the story, such as we did with William Faulkner, since he has such a Mississippi fan base and so much of that history is that Faulkner world in Mississippi, and we went there. Other stories like Cormac McCarthy and, Steinbeck, for instance, we filmed in different states many times because of tax incentives or budget or weather. So you have to take all that into consideration. But it's, it's interesting each time. And it's the amount of research that goes into each of these books. It's pretty fascinating.
Nice. I have read books that were movies and then compared the two. And sometimes, a lot of times the book is better than the movie because of the depth you get to go into. But mm-hmm. I would have to say that Kenneth Branagh's Frankenstein is actually, in my opinion, better than the book.
Interesting.
It made certain actions make a lot more sense in my brain than...
Now, this is the one with Robert De Niro as Frankenstein, right?
Correct.
Yes, yes. And Helen Bonham Carter.
Yes, yes.
Yes, it was beautiful.
It was beautifully done. The acting on it was fantastic. But there were certain things that happened in the book that I was like, why that would not happen in real life. Now, I know that there's like hundreds of years of difference, etc. But how Frankenstein learned to talk, or when Frankenstein accidentally kills this child. In the book, there's this whole trial that they put somebody on for the death of this child. And then eventually the person on trial goes to, it gets hung for the murder. Whereas in the movie, everybody is all up in arms and the emotions take over and they lynch this person. And it makes way more sense because if you're actually on trial, obviously this person didn't kill the child. Frankenstein did, blah, 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 blah. So there was like certain things that just made more sense and helped to tell the story along than the book did.
Mm.
So in that regard,
Similar to that, I loved, and I also did my thesis on this, David Lean's Great Expectations.
Oh, nice.
But that is one where actually I liked the 90s version of Great Expectations much better than I liked the book and the Charles Dickens book and the David Lean version. What was it, 1920s, 1930s version of it, 40s? But that was something that where it took it to another level and brought it to present day that I really appreciate. Speaking of which, Robert De Niro was in that as well. Spoiler, if you haven't seen it.
Maybe we just like De Niro.
Yeah. How can you not?
I have a question.
Alexa, call Robert De Niro. No, Alexa, stop.
So, I mean, because you live and work in the movie industry, I'm assuming you'll be able to answer this question for me. Is the Illuminati still holding Steve in Blue's Clues jail?
I don't know if I can answer that.
Okay, can you look into that for me?
Well, because if she answers it, then the Illuminati will come after her.
Oh, that's fair. All right.
No, she can't answer that.
You can answer that off recording.
No, but see, now they know.
This podcast is tricky.
The Illuminati don't listen to this particular podcast.
They listen to everything, Jen. Oh. Have you learned nothing?
No, not really.
We did a whole episode on them, and it got magically deleted from our...
I was just sitting here like, we did?
It was, yes, we did that podcast. J- just after we went and saw The Neverending Story with our family after I got back from Germany.
Fuck you. We went to see The Neverending Story, and it was before you went to Germany.
I still don't remember. I'm sorry.
There's a picture of you, me, and Micah, and it's like 90% of the picture is my titties. I was wearing...
Well, no, I remember the picture.
What do you think we were doing? Just hanging out? And I was like, here, everybody, look at my titties.
Well, it's not like... I mean, that happens.
It does happen.
That happens. So it's not like that's out of the question. No, I just... we were at a movie theater, but I don't remember what movie we went to go see. That's not... Like, I do that all the time. I'll sit here, I'll tell people, like, hey, do you remember that one time? It's like, oh, I went and saw this great movie. It was called Thor. And, it, you know, there was this really...
Thor?
And it,
you may have heard of it.
It was a lot of fun. And... I, you know, it was really fun. It's like, yeah, no, I was there with you the entire time. Like, we went and saw it. Like, I have the movie stub. And I'm like, oh, okay. I don't know.
Hey, Anna, we saw Thor.
Damn it! So that's how my brain works sometimes. I apologize. I'm just so in the movie that I don't remember.
Good stuff.
Good times.
It is good.
So, you have worked in movies, worked on television shows, you've did music videos... You've done all these wonderful things. Is there still a hoop that you want to jump through, a golden ring to achieve?
A glass ceiling to break?
You know, I'm already doing it. I just want to keep doing it. You know, and I want to grow with it. You know, on a personal level, if I could production design a movie and remake it, it would be 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Yes.
Or maybe I'll make the theater version of that.
Oh, okay. You'd be like Julie Taymor, just do like some crossover stuff.
That's right. Bring all the worlds in together. Yeah, I just said maybe that's what I meant to do. Bring it all in together.
Well, I feel like if anybody can do it, you can, Chris.
Oh, thanks, Anna.
So we have one final question that we ask everyone, and that is, what is your guilty pleasure?
My guilty pleasure is movie trailers, especially the trailers from probably like the 50s, 60s, or, you know, the sci-fi movie trailers. I also like watching the old drive-in movie commercials.
Like, let's go out to the lobby.
The lobby, let's go. Yeah.
Excellent. You know, they still used those when I was working at the drive-in movie theater in the late 90s.
They still use them now. My nephew Noah was singing going to the lobby, so.
Aw.
Yeah, so.
Let's go take a second mortgage out so I can have some popcorn.
That is true. Snacks are expensive, but that's how you pay the bills, so. And that's also how you get really good at sneaking in snacks to places. So,
for sure.
That's just yet another skill on my resume.
Carry a big purse, walk softly.
There we go.
I like that.
On that note, thank you, Chris, for being on. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
And what I had heard was, we are out of time. We will see you guys next week.
Visit our website at wihhw.com, where you can sign up for our newsletter, see guest links and information, and some fancy extras. Also, check us out on Facebook at What I Had Heard Was, and Instagram at What I Had Heard. And if you really want to get something off your chest, shoot us an email at whatihadheardwas@gmail.com.